All right, I want you to take your Bible again, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. It's good to see Raphael and Dee here tonight. God bless you. Always good to see you folks and all the other ones who are visiting back home and so on. If you're here, God bless you. We're glad to have you. And always good to see these folks coming back home here. So praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 7. It's rare that I preach on one verse, but I couldn't get away from it. As we're traveling through this book together, we've come to verse number 12. And I don't know about you, but this book is wearing me out. I'm not talking about physically per se. I'm talking about spiritually. The Lord is taking me out behind the woodshed, so to speak, and showing me that I've not arrived yet, if you understand. And we've come to one of these verses tonight that we can all get some help from. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus is speaking here, and he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's come to this verse and says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Again, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I preach to you tonight on this subject, a summary statement. A summary statement. Let's pray together we share this thought. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that you'll help us as we've opened your word again. I pray, Father, that you'll fill us with your power and your spirit tonight. Show us what you'd have us to do. And help me, Lord, as we attempt to preach on this verse. I confess my dependence upon you. I can't preach this without your help. Would you help me, I beg of you now. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the Sermon on the Mount, now again, the Sermon on the Mount began in chapter 5 and goes through the end of chapter 7 here. We've come to the classic statement given by our Lord and Savior that all of us need to take to heart. Now, this particular statement has been called the Golden Rule. It's been called the capstone of the whole discourse. And it's been called the Everest of all ethical teaching. One person said, "With this commandment, the Sermon on the Mount reaches its summit and its peak." Now, I want you to notice the last phrase of this verse, which says, "This is the law and the prophets." Now, the Lord Jesus is summarizing the Old Testament, if you will, here, the law and the prophets. He's basically, whenever he's saying the law here, he's talking about the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Pentateuch, if you will. And he's saying the prophets. So what he's saying here, he's saying, "I'm going to summarize the Old Testament for you. I'm going to tell you basically what it's about." And he says, here's the summary. You do to others what you want them to do to you. Now, I want us to think about this statement here tonight. And I want to bring three things out about it. Number one, it's context. Number two, it's command. And number three, it's cause. First of all, let's notice it's context. Now again, I remind you, whenever you study the Bible, and I hope all of you are studying the Bible, even when you read the Bible, you need to keep the context in mind. Don't ever be guilty of lifting something out of context. That's why some people are messed up dispensationally. That's why some people are messed up with salvation and messed up with works and messed up with baptism and all these, because they lift things out of the total context in which it's given. And this being the case, we want to look at this together. When we say the context, what we mean is what's the immediate surroundings of it. What's going on while this statement is being given? Now, this particular verse forces us to look at its context, and it does that with the first word in the verse. It says, "Therefore." Now, you've heard the old saying, whenever you see the word "therefore," you need to look and see why it's "therefore." And you understand that this word "therefore," it's simply shooting us back to something that's already been mentioned. In other words, he cannot be looking ahead. He's looking back at something. Now, this being the case, in this particular message, the Sermon on the Mount, because he's still preaching it, then we know the Sermon on the Mount is the immediate context of this verse. Even though he's applying it to the whole Old Testament, in its context, he's giving it while he's giving all of these other thoughts in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you remember, first of all, he spoke about the Beatitudes in chapter 5. I hope you've memorized those. In chapter 5, he spoke about Christians being salt and light. He spoke, this is all in chapter 5, he spoke about not being angry with a brother without a cause. He spoke about not lusting after a woman in your heart. He spoke about husbands and wives staying together. He spoke about being a person who speaks the truth. He spoke about turning the other cheek. He spoke about going the second mile, and he spoke about loving your enemies. Then in chapter 6, he spoke about serving God for God's approval, not man's applause. He spoke about praying in a way that pleases God. He spoke about having your heart in heaven, not on earth. He spoke about not worrying about the things on this earth. Then in chapter 7, up to this point, he has spoken about casting the beams out of our own eyes and not judging others falsely. And last Sunday, we looked at this. He spoke about keep on praying and trusting God for the good things in life. Now, it's at this point in this sermon that this verse is given. Now, if you'll notice, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but basically the rest of this chapter, beginning with verse number 13, he turns his attention towards salvation. But before he ever gets to that, he makes this summary statement. And may I say to you that the Lord is showing us again here that he's just spoken about the Sermon on the Mount. He's in the middle of it. He's speaking about how to treat other people, what to do, turn the other cheek, don't lie, tell the truth, all these kind of things. Then he starts bringing out, you can't do this without my help. Then he puts it a step further and says, now you do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And this being the case, in the context again, we see we cannot do that without the help of Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh does not like verse number 12. My flesh does not like verse number 12. In a world where it says they deserve it, give it to them. They treated me bad, I hope somebody treats them bad. That is not the heart of Almighty God. God's heart is, therefore, whatsoever you would that men do to you, do you also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Number one, its context shows us we need God to help us with this. Number two, let's notice its command. Now, this is what I'm going to slow down a little bit. Of course, you've been around me long enough. When I say I'm going to slow down, I'm lying to you. I realize I'm supposed to be a man of truth, but I'm going to attempt to slow down here because this is the bulk of the message. What is God saying here? What is the Lord Jesus really saying? Well, I'm showing you, first of all here, look at this now. We're noticing in this context, secondly, this statement, its command. I want you to see this right here. This verse, the Lord did not give it as a suggestion. He is not giving this as a request. He is giving it as a direct command. Notice the language. He says, therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. He doesn't say, I'm asking you to do this. He said, I'm telling you to do this. And this being the case, I want to bring out some thoughts about the command. Let me say this right before I get to these thoughts under this. If you are not treating others the way that you wish they would treat you in that given circumstance, then that is disobeying God as much as lying, cheating, adultery, killing, or anything else. This is a command of Jesus Christ. Now, that being the case, I want to bring out three things under this to help us understand it. First of all, under this, let's notice its explanation. Now, consider the statement here in verse 12, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now, in this statement, we see the Lord explaining this command to us. Now, in this statement, we see that, notice it now, it says in all things. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say most things. It says all things. We are to put ourselves in the other fellow's place and act accordingly. We are to act towards him as we would wish him to act towards us if the boot was on the other foot. In other words, if 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 what you're getting ready to act according to what's happening in that person's life, Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I want you to think before you act, and I want you to put yourself in their shoes and make sure that you are going to treat them the way that you treat yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When we finally get a hold of what he's saying, there'll be no more slanderous talk around, I'm talking about around the house of God. There'd be no more murder. There'd be no more theft. There'd be no more bitterness. There'd be no more any of that kind of stuff if we live by this verse right here. Now, stay with me here. Along with this, we see the word do. Now, he emphasizes to do something here. Now, in other words, we're to be active in our treating of others the same way we would want to be treated in the same circumstance. Now, it's interesting. In my study, it came out how the Pharisees back in this day, they emphasized don't do some things. In other words, they'd say, don't do this and don't do that, and you'll be holy. But the Lord emphasizes right here the opposing view. He's saying real holiness is not necessarily a list of don'ts. It's also a list of do's. It's I want you to do something here. And this being the case, we see this. Now, in all of this, what we see that living according to this verse, just like I've said, it would destroy envy, it would destroy treachery, it would destroy unkindness, slander, theft, adultery, murder, you name it. Because we would not do those things to ourselves. You wouldn't. Hey, are you listening to me? You gonna lie about yourself? Can I say something to you? You're going to take yourself out behind the woodshed and talk bad about yourself? You're going to go out and talk to others about yourself like you might talk about somebody else? You listening to me? Jesus is hitting the nail on the head here, friends. He's saying before you do that, you make sure that it would be something that you would want somebody to do to you had you been in the same situation that person's in. You ever heard something like this? Have you heard what happened to her? Did you hear what she did or what he did? By the way, you know what tears churches up? Talk like that. Where it's backstabbing. And now, I don't know of any of that going on in this church, but a church this size, I know it has to. I didn't fall off the rocker, friends. You understand that a church of any size is going to have somebody who's not living by this verse. I dare say in a crowd this size that there are many of us who deal with this verse every now and then. You ever been tempted to do something to somebody that you would never want them to do to you? Jesus saying, you are to live by a higher standard. Now I'm telling you, this means we do to others as we would do to ourselves. So ask yourself a question before you make that phone call. Ask yourself a question before you listen to that slander. By the way, it's just as wrong to give an ear to it as it is to have your tongue speaking it. So before you sit and listen to it, ask yourself, would you want somebody listening to something that's not good about you? Do you see how practical this is, really? I mean, this is so practical, it's ridiculous. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, he once had a friend by the name of Newman Hall. He was a great preacher, and he was also a great writer. He authored some things, and he wrote a little booklet called Come to Jesus. Another preacher published an article against this man's booklet that he wrote and ridiculed it totally and wrote it off. In other words, he just criticized this book that this man wrote. Mr. Hall bore patiently with this argumentation for a while, but when the article gained popularity and was doing well, Hall decided, why should I take this when this is God's will to bless this little booklet? So he sat down, he wrote a letter of protest. He answered it in full with language here, not terrible language, but just retaliating, if you will, that outdid anything that this previous man's article did. In other words, it said right here, we could say he wiped the floor with him. Now, but before he mailed the letter in defense of himself, he took it to Charles Spurgeon for his opinion. And Spurgeon read it very carefully in detail and then handed it back. He asserted that it was excellent and certainly the writer deserved everything he got, but Charles Spurgeon said this, it lacks one thing. And after a pause, he said, underneath your signature, you ought to write the words, author of Come to Jesus. The two godly men looked at each other for a few moments, and then Hall tore the letter to shreds, and he thought, how could the author who says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, put his name under such a letter? And then it goes on to say, we tend to think like that, don't we? If they deserve it, give it to them. We tend to think that bad behavior is more justified on our part if we've been offended, if wrong has been done toward us, but that is not the teaching of our Lord here. He's teaching us here, don't retaliate. He's teaching us here, you treat them the way that you want to be treated. By the way, why do we want to retaliate? Think about it. Because we've been offended, right? We've been hurt. We don't like being hurt. But if you retaliate and try to get back at something, now I'm not talking about, you know, hold something that needs to be brought to light, folks. I mean, use your common sense here now. I mean, God's going to have to give you a Holy Spirit discernment on things that you need to answer, things you don't, is what I'm trying to say. In other words, somebody says, hey, I'll tell you one thing. He's immoral. He's out drinking all night long. You better believe I'm not going to stand back and take something like that. I'll say, that's a lie. That's not true. What I'm talking about is just nitpicky things. And then before we retaliate, think to yourself, it hurt when they did it to me. Is that what I'm trying to do to them now? Because that's not how the Lord responds. The Lord does not respond in a way that is hurtful towards somebody else. A man put it this way. He said, in all doubtful questions between man and man, we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This settles 100 different, difficult points. It prevents the necessity of laying down endless little rules for our conduct in specific cases. In other words, okay, now if this happens, I'm going to do this. And if this happens, I'm going to do this. And if he does that, then I'm going to do that. And I'm going to have to just be ready for anything that comes down the pike. This man's saying, you know, this verse settles it. You don't have to put down any nitpicky rules about how you're going to respond. It sweeps the whole debatable ground with one mighty principle. It shows us the balance and measure by which everyone may see at once what is his duty. In other words, what are you supposed to do here? In a given circumstance, whatever's happened, how are you to respond? You know how you're to respond? Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So before you blast and before you slander and before you share truth, like some people look at gossip as, oh, I'm not gossiping, I'm just sharing the truth with people. Do you want people to share the truth about you to others? See, when you put the shoe on your own foot, you begin to think differently, don't you? I do too, friends. I'm flesh just like anybody else. And I'm telling you the truth that before I speak, I need to make sure I wouldn't mind somebody saying this about me. Are you listening? This is what the Lord's teaching. Number one, it's explanation. Number two, it's extent. We're looking at the command here. In other words, how far are we supposed to take this? Who's this apply to? How many things are we supposed to do this in? Now, this might be a question. But I want you to notice two separate things. Notice the phrase all things and notice the word men. Where it says, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And the them is tied to men. Now the all things, here's a deep Greek lesson for you. You know what it means? It means all things. You know what the word men means? It means human being. Look it up. So let me tell you what the extent of this is. We see that in every situation, we are to treat every human being the way we would treat ourselves. This does not mean that you release a criminal from prison now. In other words, some people say, well, if I was a prisoner, I'd want somebody to release me. So I guess we just need to release them. That's abusing the text, friends. Because remember that God does not contradict in one teaching what he has commanded in another teaching, you understand? It's not saying that you go off and if somebody's guilty of a crime and they're paying for it with life behind bars, that you say, do unto him as you'd have him do unto you. Let's set him free. That's not what he's talking about. Use your common sense. But what he's saying here is that it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that you spend a lot of time with or you barely know. It doesn't matter if it's an American or a person from India. It doesn't matter who it is. We are to treat all people the way that we'd want to be treated. And I'm going to tell you something. That blows out of the water many things going on today around the nation, around the world. Let me ask you a question. How do you look at a Muslim? How do you look at a Hindu? There are militant Hindus just like there are militant Muslims. How do you look at them? You look at them like Jonah does? Or Jonah did? God, this is why I didn't want to come here, because I knew that you'd show mercy on them. Let me ask you a question. If you were lost today in heathen darkness and didn't know better, what would you want you to do? What do you want? I know what somebody says. Somebody says they're in heathen darkness. Some of them trying to kill people and everything else. They'll get what they deserve. Really? Really? Aren't you glad somebody didn't say that about you before they gave you the gospel, friend? I'm telling you something. This verse, no wonder he's saying, this summarizes the Old Testament. You take the Ten Commandments. You take them. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's what this verse is teaching. Let me tell you why you shouldn't lie about somebody. Because you don't want them to lie about you. Amen now, friends. This is what he's teaching. And the extent of it is no matter who it is and no matter what it is, in all things, with all men, you treat them like you'd want to be treated. That's its extent. Number three under this, let's notice its example. Now, the example is not given necessarily in this text, but the one who's speaking it is the example of it, friends. The ultimate example is the Lord himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As we consider this example of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, if he gets treated bad, he doesn't respond with that. Who's the ultimate example, friends? The Lord is. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You listening to me? He didn't have to do that. You want me to tell you why he did? Because he's setting an example. He's setting an example. He is not responding the way that many of us would respond. God could have looked down here and said, they are sinners, they are wicked, they are hell deserving. I am not going to send my son. He could have done that and been just and right in doing it. But he didn't. In other words, before anybody says, this is too hard of a verse, I can't do that. You don't understand, Jody. You don't understand what happened. You don't understand what happened to me. You don't understand what she did or what he did or what they're doing. You don't understand. You might be right, I don't understand. But I understand this. There is nobody can treat us as bad as he was treated. And through it all, he looked down in his lovely eyes and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. By the way, why should you forgive somebody who's wrong? Because when you're wrong, you would hope somebody would forgive you, wouldn't you? Amen or not, friends? By the way, if you're unforgiving, watch out. I'm telling you that when I mess up, I hope somebody will show mercy on me. Because I'm going to mess up. You listening? You're going to mess up. And in your heart, you know what I'm telling you the truth. You want somebody to give you a second chance. You want somebody to help you. You want somebody to love on you, have mercy. That's what you want for yourself. Here's what Jesus is saying. Then that's how you need to treat everybody else. Powerful, isn't it? This is powerful. The Bible goes on to say, as we look at the example, 1 John 3:16, he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 1 Peter 2:21 and 23, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Now listen to this verse. What steps did he take? Verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." The Lord set the example. This is enough to respond this way toward others. Let me tell you why. Because the Lord responded that way towards you, friend, and towards me. Where would we be if Jesus Christ did not respond in this way? Would be burning in hell. Aren't you glad he set the example in this? Number one, we've noticed its context. You can't do it without God's help. Number two, its command, its explanation. All men, in every situation, treat them as you'd want to be treated, given under the same circumstance. That's why we go to the prison, friends. Let me tell you why. Because the world has cast many of them out. Can I say this to you? We got a letter. I think it's one of the ones I gave to you, Brother Matney. We got a letter, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said it's good that somebody still cares. You mean to tell you, are you listening? That doesn't mean they need to be out on the street. That doesn't mean they don't need to pay for their crime. But does that mean that we turn a deaf ear and we don't give them the love of God and we don't show mercy and forgiveness and try to reach them? No, that's not what that means. That means we see that what they deserve, so do we. And God had mercy on our soul. And we need to have mercy on them. Because if it was us up there and our family turned against us and everybody turned against us, don't you think it's a breath of fresh air to have an Arby's sandwich handed to you? Mr. Matney was telling me that there are men up there, you can correct me if I'm wrong, at least one, that they're locked up so much that the Arby's wrapper, they keep it all year long because it's something from the outside world. And they keep it and they look at it. You say, "Jody, are you saying set them free? Have I not already made myself plain on that?" I'm not saying set them free, but I'm saying put yourself in their shoes. Would you want somebody to come up and talk to you? Would you want somebody to give the gospel to you? Would you want to take, I'm talking about somebody, to write you a letter and share God's love with you? Sure you would. So that's why we ought to keep going to the prison. That's why we go to India. That's why we go around the world. You say, "Jody, what are you saying?" I'm saying I would want somebody to come tell me that Jesus died for me. And what a hypocrite I am if I don't go and I don't tell them. Jesus saying, "Whatever you'd have men to do to you, you do to them." This is it. Then number three, it's cause. It's cause. Why should you do this? Why should you live this way? Why? Why? It's given in the last phrase. Jesus said, after he said to do this, he said, "For this is the law and the prophets." Now, the phrase is given in reference to the Word of God. I've already explained this to you. But when you say, "This is the law and the prophets," he's saying, "This is the Word of God." That's what he's saying. By the way, is the Word of God the will of God? Sure it is. You want to know the will of God? Search the Word of God. And if the Word of God says it, that's the will of God. You don't even need to pray about it. And that being the case, he's saying this. Let me read it this way. Look at the verse. "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye so to them, for this is the Word of God." You get it? You see the cause? In other words, what's the cause? Why should you do this? You say it's hard to do it. Why should you do it anyway? You say, "I don't want to do it." Why should you do it anyway? Why? Again, this is not a suggestion. He's commanding you. And the reason, the cause for doing it is because it is the Word of God. It is the will of God. This is God's will to do this thing. Along with this, let me say that this is not the only reason here to live by this command. But this is the reason to live by all commands of Scripture. We should go to the Word of God, find what the Lord's will is, and then do it with all of our heart. This concludes, includes this verse before us today. In other words, do you think the Lord knows that it's hard every now and then? Sure He does. I'm running like a fountain up here, but anyway. The Lord knows this is hard in your flesh. He knows this is difficult. So He attaches this last phrase, just in case anybody has any thoughts or any doubts, He's saying, this is the law and the prophets. This is the Word of God. This is the will of God. Let me ask you a question. Why are you doing what you're doing? We've already preached along this line, preaching through this Sermon on the Mount. Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you here tonight? Why are you here? It's not that you don't have something else you can do. Can I say this to you? If you're not here to please God because God told you to be faithful. Now, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about any church that's preaching the Word of God faithfully. I'm saying it is the will of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. There you go. Look it up later. He has told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Therefore, be faithful to church, for this is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. In other words, if you have Scripture, that's the cause to do it. That's it. You shouldn't need anything more than that. You may tell you why you ought to do what you do? Because God's pleased with it. God told me to do it. What would happen to this church? Now, we've got a great church because we have a great God. We're not great in ourselves. Our God is great. Can I say something to you? But what would happen to this church if everybody here tonight would say, I'm going to search the Bible for whatever God wants me to do, and my answer is already yes. If He tells me to do it, I'm doing it. What would happen? You know what would happen? There'd be some husbands start hugging on their wives again. There'd be some wives start submitting to their husbands. There'd be some people who, listen, I'd have to hire a full-time employee to keep the track rack stocked out there. Because everybody would be sharing the gospel because He told us to, you see. And the reason that we are to do this verse, the reason that I am to treat you the way that I hope you would treat me, is because He told me to do it. He's told me not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Now, this is the Word of God He's given. But they didn't necessarily know that when they were listening to Him. Did He know that that was going to be in the book of Matthew? Sure. But the only Word of God they had that they knew about was the law and the prophet. So He's saying, what I'm telling you, by the way, that's the Word of God. Are you listening to me? My mind's going 1,000 miles right here, because that's why we need to tie ourselves down to the book, friends. You want me to tell you why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm telling you this because it's in the Old Testament. This is the will of my Father. Now, are you living in accordance to the will of God revealed in this precious word? Are you doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? By the way, does that sound familiar? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you? Leviticus 19, 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Luke 6, 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Romans 13, 8 to 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Think about it. That's what he's saying here in this verse again. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James 2:8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. He's just saying, listen, here's the royal law. Love your neighbors yourself. And if you do that, you're doing a good thing. Simple. So I ask you, is that how you're living? Did you live that way today? Or did you crucify somebody with your talk and your language? Did you treat your spouse today that you'd want to be treated? Did you treat your child today that you'd want them to treat you? Put it wherever you're at. Do you treat your boss, fellow employees, co-workers, classmates, young people, teammates, teachers? Did you treat others the way that if you had been them, you would want them to treat you? Context, command, cause. It's so simple, it's ridiculous, is what I'm trying to say. So before we say that, before we make that statement, before we drag their name through the mud, before we agree with that, before we give a listening ear to that, before we say that, before we do that, wait and say, let me go over here in his place for just a moment in my mind. Let me put myself where he is or she is. Would I be doing the same thing if I was doing it to me? Maybe this is not helping you. It's helping me. Because I need this. Let me tell you why. Because you all are so hard. I'm just kidding with you. I'm simply saying, do you have anybody in this life that gets under your skin? Now, if you're looking up here and say, yeah, you boy, that's who's getting under my skin. You got somebody that just gigs you? You got somebody right now who's giving you a fit? You got somebody right now who's they're not an angel. Well, they could be, but to you they're a fallen one. There's no doubt about that. How are you supposed to respond? Let them have it. Expose them to everybody you know to expose them to. Wait a minute. That doesn't make what they're doing right. But if you were the one doing it, would you want somebody doing that to you? Do you like what they're doing to you? Say no. Why? Because it hurts? So you don't want people hurting you, right? So why do something to hurt somebody else? You got it? You get it? Can we go on to verse 13 the next time we come together? What a verse. What a verse. I think you can see why I couldn't go past it. May the Lord help us with it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, Lord, to live by this command. Help us to understand that we can't do this in our own flesh. We need your help. Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I ask you this question as they begin to play through softly. Are you a born-again child of God? May I say to you that he's not giving this right here to unbelievers. There is no way in this world that you're going to live by that verse unless you're a born-again child of God. It's impossible. In your flesh, you want to get even, everything else. By the way, I realize that many of you may not need this tonight, per se. I'm talking about nobody's treating you bad or your life is great or whatever the case may be. But friends, I hope you'll pack this message away if you don't necessarily need it tonight, because you will need it, God giving you life. Tearing is coming. And you say, Jody, I'm a born-again child of God. I'm saved. I don't hope so. I know so. I know I'm going to heaven. If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. I never want to let a message go by or service go by and ever take for granted that everybody's saved. Is it possible somebody's here tonight that does not know Jesus as your Savior? Is it possible that here tonight that there may be somebody here who has never trusted Christ as their Savior? If that's you, I hope you'll come when the invitation's extended. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Let us share with you how Jesus loves you and died for you. Was buried and rose again so you might be saved and justified. If you'll by faith accept Him as your Savior. Or maybe tonight you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. With this one verse, God has my attention. It might be somebody that you need to forgive. It might be somebody that you just need to stop talking about. It might be somebody that's done you wrong, but instead of trying to get even with them, you need to just turn it over to God and turn them over to the Lord. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me. Through this verse, God has my attention. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be an honest person. Yes, that's several people, several people. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help people to respond. Help them to come. Speak to hearts. And help us to turn it over to God. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Brother Gary's singing. If God's spoken to you, it's a privilege. Why don't you come and talk to Him about it? As Brother Gary sings, leave your place now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Folks are responding.
While
why don't you?
I am waiting, yielded and
sing on,
still.
Brother Gary.
Have thine own way,
the Lord, is speaking
Lord.
To you.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
You look this way, folks are praying, they're playing through. Apply it to your life. Remember the old thing that I'm trying to say and trying to get it in you, get it in you, get it in you. Don't be guilty of just coming to hear, but allow the Spirit of God to apply it to your life. What does this verse mean to you? Let me tell you what it means to me. It means I'm going to treat my wife the way that God would want me to treat her. Let me tell you why, because I want her to do that with me. It means I'm going to love my children. I'm going to try to raise my children right. We're going to try to give them the gospel. I'm praying for them every day of my life. Let me tell you why. Because that's what I hope they'll do for me. That doesn't mean my motive is me. But God knows how selfish we are. It's almost like this is a sanctified selfishness. God's saying, you know you want this for yourself. So do it with others. Apply it. Use it. May the Lord help you. Amen. I've preached enough. That, I should take that as my life motto. I've preached enough. We will not come back together until Christmas Day, God willing. Christmas Eve is a big day around our place. How many of y'all, that's the same for you? Christmas Eve is. Yes. Good. Always keep the Lord right in the center of Christmas. He's the reason. Amen. Good. Hope you don't mind me doing this, but Raphael, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer. I like to ask people before I call on them. We're so glad you're here. Always good to see fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. He's going to pray for us. After he says amen, you're dismissed. You have a great Christmas Eve. God bless you, friend. Love you. Glad you're here.
Dear Father, thank you tonight for Brother Jody's message, Lord, on treating others the way we would treat ourselves. Lord, thank you for his powerful message. Help us to apply it in our everyday lives, in our homes, at our jobs, yes. Wherever we go, Lord. I pray that you'd bless this Christmas season. Help us, Lord, to remember you coming down to earth, being born, Lord, to save our sins if we would just believe. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you.